Hello and welcome to Sumo Mainichi. My name's Dave and I am here all by myself bringing you all the action from day 12 at the Haru Basho taking place in Osaka, Japan. Unfortunately, Amy is out. She has a work event on and won't be back until quite late tonight. So we thought rather than hitting record at 12 a.m., I'm going to do this by myself and I'm going to need your help to get through it. Wish me luck. The weather in Osaka today, it was cold, 7 degrees Celsius, 44 degrees Fahrenheit. It was rainy, 56% humidity. Yesterday, a friend of the podcast, Alex, sent us through a report from her time at the Sumo in Osaka. I'm going to hand over to Alex now to give you a bit of a report on the ground. Take it away, Alex.
Prefectural Gymnasium is not unlike a rather large high school gym, which I guess is what it is, except for the high school part. Even more intimate than Nagoya and far more intimate than Fukuoka. Really surprisingly small, which is probably why it's sold out, which is absolutely fantastic. Very relaxed atmosphere. Wrestlers coming and going from the locker rooms, I suppose. People hanging around, waiting to photograph, have a little chat. Other ex-rikishi down on the also pretty chilled merch area on the ground floor. Kaisei there on the till, number two. Bunch of other guys, I suppose. But he's very, very identifiable and obvious and dedicated. Osaka crowd. People audible about who they're supporting. Jurio's had the energy and the cheering that Makuuchi normally has. And a feeling in the best way of a working class crowd. It's a national holiday here, as you know, Shunbun no Hi, and the stands, it feels like a real national sport.
Really mellow crowds as expected, hanging around the entrances to the east and west locker rooms, Makuuchi arriving, Tamawashi, Onosato, Hidenomi. Just incredible access here, incredibly chilled. People passing in the corridors, passing by the rikishi. Absolutely no division between the public and the wrestlers. By far, I haven't been to Tokyo, but between Nagoya and Fukuoka, which seemed chilled enough, this is just beyond next level. It's incredibly intimate.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Alex. If you do find yourself at the Sumo and you'd like to send us a report, turn on your phone, hit record, and tell us what you're seeing around the Sumo. Alex did give Amy and I quite a good tip on a seafood restaurant around the corner from where the Sumo is held in Fukuoka. Very, very nice stuff. So thank you so much, Alex, for both of those things. It's no secret that I was and will always be a big Chinakuni fan. In the last 48 hours, Chinakuni's Danpatsushiki, his retirement ceremony, has been confirmed for the 8th of June 2024. We know this because there's an English language Instagram account that seems to have been set up to promote the event. And today we got some, in English, some information on the running sheet. So I thought I'd cover that before we get into the bouts for day 12. So, for Chinakuni's Danpatsushiki, we kick off with a taiko drum performance. Great way to get the blood pumping early on. We then go in, and I would say that maybe this is a little bit too early, but we will see a match between Chinakuni and Chiyonoshin. So Chiyonoshin is Chinakuni's brother, who shot to fame with his starring role in Netflix sumo drama / fantasy Sanctuary. So not sure how hard the boys will be going at each other, but that's bound to be a big draw card. Just as an aside, I noticed Japanese game auteur and game genius Hideo Kojima on his Instagram today wearing a Sanctuary t-shirt. I don't know what to read into this, but Hideo, if you ever want to make a sumo game, I'm with you 100%, bro. Following the Chinokuni-Chiyonoshin matchup, we see some collision practice. Not a great item to be coming out of that big matchup into. But then we get into something quite interesting here. Forbidden move introduction. I'm not sure what kind of forbidden moves are going to be shown there. I mean, are we thinking the hair grab, the groin grab? What will we see? I'm guessing it's going to be probably Chinokuni and some mates doing that funny sumo where they pretend to throw each other and then throw peace signs at the audience. We then move into the hairdressing of sumo topknot. So a whole procession of people will snip a tiny piece of hair off Chinokuni. Then it's a little bit cryptic, this next one. The singer sings. We don't know who the singer is, but the singer will be singing. And then the final item, the Yumi Torishiki. So this one seems to have got past the translators. They left this in Japanese, but everyone knows this is the bow twirling ceremony. And a great way to finish off what will be a memorable event. I'm trying to come up with a plan that I can be there, but stay tuned. Interesting, on this post goes on to note that food and drink are available at the venue and that there's a kids and baby corner available too as well. If you'd like to keep up with all of the Chinokuni Danpatsushiki info, follow arigato.chinokuni. That's arigato.chinokuni. Only has 406 followers, but this is the kind of account that will get you a follow back. So get involved with that. All right, let's jump right into the day 12 bouts. This Daimami Sanumi bout we need to check in on. Very, very exciting finish to this one. Daimami was on top early, and Sanumi looked like he was having a bit of trouble containing the power of the much larger Daimami. But on the bales, Sanumi got up on the Tawara, swung Daimami down, and in my opinion, hung just long enough to see Daimami go down first. Sanumi really had to commit here. He ended up stepping right off the doyo. No big surprise. This was a monoe, even though it was given to Sanumi. And this one took quite a long time to reach a resolution. Lots of replays. And a torinaoshi was called, which, you know me, more sumo, that's good news. But I thought maybe Sanumi just had enough to get the win outright here. When they went again, both got on the belt. This was a back and forth affair, and it looked like we might have seen another replay of them both going at it on the bales. But Sanumi's, his will was just too strong here, and he used a belt grip to drive Daimami over the bales. Now, I noticed Sanumi walk down the Hanamichi covered in blood, but I couldn't actually see where it came from. Must have been Daimami, but we didn't get too many shots of him following the bout. So with that win, Sanumi on 7-5, Daimami on 6-6. Endo broke a run of 7 losses in a row with a fairly straightforward slapdown win against Kota Shoho. This was smart sumo from Endo. You could see him, he just sensed Kota Shoho was coming forward, a bit off balance, a bit out of control. Endo stepped back and slapped down. Hataki Komi win for him. Endo, 3-9 after that win. Kota Shoho, 5-7 on the road to Kachikoshi. Onosho denied Mitakumi his Kachikoshi today with some moments of sublime belt sumo. Love seeing Onosho mix it up, get on the belt. Big win for him. Onosho and Mitakumi both move to 7-5. Let's check in on the Kim Bozan tape situation. It is all over the place, an absolute dog's breakfast. Today it feels like they might have redone the tape, but with very much the same spirit of what we've seen, and that is the spirit of chaos. The tape reaching from his shoulders up to his ears, still flapping loose at the back. There's so much to look at, so much going on. Kim Bozan, ushering in a new era of taping, and I've got to say an absolute honour and privilege to be alive at the time of this genius who people are now calling the Picasso of taping. Not Kim Bozan himself, his team, although I would entertain the thought that Kim Bolzan is doing this tape himself. We do need to get more information on that, and hopefully we can confirm with you very soon. Kim Bolzan, even with all of that tape going on, he won today easily, overpowering Muir Gidiou, taking him over the Bales Yori Kiri. So, Kim Bolzan, 5 wins, 5 losses, and 2 days off. Kim Bolzan, he's still in the hunt to get that very unlikely Kachikoshi after missing a couple of days earlier in the Basho. Muir Gidiou now moves on to the road to Kachikoshi. He is 5 wins and 7 losses. Shonana Umi was up against Toby Zaru today. Shonana Umi on 7 wins, desperate to get that 8th win. When they got going, Toby Zaru tried to stay mobile. He was trying to keep some distance between himself and the much larger Shonana Umi. But he could see here Shonana Umi was being very, very careful. And when he saw that opening to slap Toby Zaru down, he took it. Toby Zaru just getting a bit close there. Sent Toby Zaru down to the dirt. So for Shonana Umi now, 8-4, Kachikoshi, congratulations, son. That's his first Kachikoshi since his big promotion to Maegashira 5 in September last year. Toby Zaru still in the hunt. He is on 6-7. Orhor was up next against Hirada Umi. Orhor went off a very long run-up, which against Hirada Umi, the man known for his touchy-eyed dynamite, it just felt wrong. And as expected, Hirada Umi came out quickly, absolutely thrashed Orhor, took him over the bales, oshi-dashi. So a quite straightforward win for Hirada Umi. Hirada Umi, he moves to 7-5 now, and don't forget, he's fighting at his highest rank of Maegashira 4. And today, with that win, moves one step closer to his Kachikoshi. The bad news for Orhor fans, 4-8 now, so Makakoshi for him. Orhor, another Rikishi who's fighting at his highest rank of Maegashira 3. And Amy and I have been talking a lot about how we've seen such a dramatic improvement in Orhor's sumo this Basho, but he just couldn't convert that good form into the white dots. But as we've said before, trying to judge Orhor's sumo simply by numbers is not doing this kid any credit. I think big things are to come for him in 2024. You could feel the crowd lift as Ura and Meisei got ready to go. Meisei coming into this one on 6-7, trying to stave off Makakoshi. Meisei came out of the touchy-eye red hot, but Ura, his control here was so, so impressive. Skidded backwards, skidded all the way back to the Tawara, where he jammed his foot in that little kickback right behind where they kick off from. Somehow Ura fought his way off the Tawara, stepped aside Meisei, but then suddenly Meisei attacks again, and Ura's in exactly the same position, but on the opposite side of the dojo. Meisei didn't hesitate here. This time he grabbed Meisei's arm, slipped around the back, and got on the back of Meisei's belt, took him out of Kuritaoshi. This one absolutely lit the crowd on fire. The sea of pink. Very, very excited to see the hometown boy Ura take that win. An important one for Ura. 6-6 now. Definitely keeps him in the race for Kachikoshi. Unfortunately for Meisei at Maegashira 2, 4-8, that's Makakoshi for him, so he will see a demotion down the Banzuke come May. Meisei, another Rikishi who just couldn't quite convert his good form into white dots. The next bout I want to have a look at today is this Tucker Northshore v Asuniyama matchup. I thought Tucker Northshore put up one hell of a fight against Asuniyama today. You have to remember Tucker Northshore was trying to stave off Makakoshi, already coming into this bout on 7 losses. Tucker Northshore's defense was excellent as Asuniyama had to try everything to get ex-Sekiwake Tucker Northshore over the bales. But in the end, it was Asuniyama using a strong right-hand belt grip to walk Tucker Northshore over the bales. Asuniyama now 7-6, and I hate to say, but it's another Rikishi getting their Makakoshi today with that loss. Tucker Northshore 4-8 at Maegashira 3. Tucker Northshore fighting at his highest rank since July 2022, where he went Kyujo on day 7. And again, another Rikishi whose form getting better and better, but just couldn't translate that to wins. Let's move into the Sanyaku bouts today, and we have some absolutely cracking bouts to have a look at. We kicked off with Abi v. Takeyasu. Out of the touchy eye, Takeyasu just seemed to absorb the opening Abi attacks with ease, and Takeyasu got on the attack straight away. Abi knew he might be in trouble here. He retreated, and you could see that Takeyasu was just a bit slow moving across the touchy eye in his chase of Abi. This gave Abi time to steady and launch another attack, this time shouldering Takeyasu across the bales. So for Abi, a big win, 8-4 now. That's Kachikoshi. Congratulations, Abi. Maybe I'm resetting again, but it's good to see any Komisubi these days getting a Kachikoshi. Abi's had a few shots at this, so this is his first Kachikoshi at the rank of Komisubi in 3 failed tries. The first of those being September 2022 when he was at Kyujo. Takeyasu fans, don't worry, he's 8-4. You can rest knowing that the man is going up the Banzuke when we go into the sumo in March. The next bout of Sanyaku was Atami Fuji v. Komisubi Nishikigi. Nishikigi very much having complete opposite fortunes to Abi, coming into this bout on 1 win and 10 losses. His 1 win coming from Terunofuji very early on in the basho. Out of the touchy eye, they traded attacks in the middle of the doyo. Nishikigi defended well, and he denied Atami Fuji a good position to work from. They locked up briefly before Nishikigi was able to move Atami Fuji back to the bales. Here, Nishikigi nearly slapped Atami Fuji down, but Atami Fuji kept his feet. But as Nishikigi went in again to try to finish this one off and put Atami Fuji away, Atami Fuji showed some beautiful footwork on the Tawara to step aside and slap Nishikigi down. Hataki komi. Atami Fuji with that win, 7-5. Nishikigi, 1 win, 11 losses. 100% of his wins coming from Yokozuna. You cannot argue with that record. Well done, Nishikigi. Sekiwake Daisho was up next against Gonoyama. This bout was over very, very quickly. Gonoyama, he had the better touchy eye. He greeted Daisho by getting under his opening attacks. Daisho had to throw himself forward desperately here. Gonoyama, he had the presence of mind to step back at exactly the right time, pulling Daisho down to the ground. Gonoyama, another win for him. He moves to 9-3, but let's not forget that 2 of those wins are Fusensho. So, you know, Daisho now, he's in the danger zone. He's 5-7. The perennial Sekiwake needs to win the remaining 3 days to stay at that rank. It'd be weird to not have Daisho there every time. I think he might jag a Yusho and be weird not to have him there, but his work is definitely cut out for him now going into the final 3 days of this basho. Taka Keisho was up against Wakamoto Haru, and I don't know, it felt here at the touchy eye, Taka Keisho may have hesitated for a split second, and that's all it took for Wakamoto Haru to give him an opening, for him to move in close, get a right hand on the belt and drive Taka Keisho over the bales. Great win for Wakamoto Haru. He's 7-5 at Sekiwake. Taka Keisho still waiting for that 8th win. He's 7-5, and NHK will continue for now to refer to him, at least for another day, as Karuban Taka Keisho. Well, up next, this is the bout that everyone had their eyes on. Takeru Fuji up against Hoshoryu. Takeru Fuji obviously coming into this bout undefeated, as a Shinyumaku, right down the bottom of the Banzuke at Maegashira 17. This bout matters for Takeru Fuji. A win here would give him the record and take the record from Taiho back in 1960 with the most consecutive wins as a Makuuchi debutant. They're both tied currently on 11 wins. I noticed too, as Takeru Fuji stepped up onto the doyo for the Doyo Iri today, his Kesho Mawashi has a steam train on it. And I thought, damn, that's a great and fitting image for his performance so far. Another thing I noticed today is that Hoshoryu and Takeru Fuji are the same age. They're both 24, which is kind of shocking when you think about it. But only 5 weeks separate their actual birth date. So these two are pretty much exactly the same age. Well, it's time for the bout to decide history, a record in the making. Takeru Fuji leapt out of the touchy eye. And I mean, this is the touchy eye that's won him so many bouts so far, this basho. But Hoshoryu, he was ready. He looked like he knew what was coming, and it was almost like he caught Takeru Fuji out of the touchy eye and just so skillfully redirected the momentum out of that touchy eye to throw Takeru Fuji down using an arm lock, a kotenage win. The crowd went wild here, absolutely wild. Big one for Hoshoryu, and you saw that look on his face as he went back to collect his winnings. There was an air of... what's the right way to say it? Well, I think what it was he just goes, I knew I could do this. Of course I can do this. And today, so efficient, sumo genius at work. Well done, Hoshoryu. Hoshoryu, 9-3 with that win. Takeru Fuji, that's his first loss. Can't believe I'm saying that. He is 11-1. Well, after that big and important bout, we moved on to Kirishima. Up against Midori Fuji, and we said it yesterday, Midori Fuji, he's won his last three bouts with Kata Sakashi, and he came out today and tried to do the same thing again to Kirishima, almost for me locking in that Ginosho, that technique prize. Kirishima knew it was coming. He swatted the attack away, and here they traded thrusts and ended up moving into a long lockup in the middle of the dojo, which lasted quite a while. Midori Fuji, he had himself set, and I've got to say, he looked, for a smaller Rikishi, just rock solid. Kirishima had no way to move Midori Fuji, and you could tell Kirishima was getting desperate because Kirishima went for the makakai. He tried to reposition his grip, get the arm inside, but here, Midori Fuji pounced, and Kirishima's arm suddenly got locked up a little awkwardly as Midori Fuji got the right hand on the belt, and Midori Fuji used that advantage to power forward and took Kirishima over. Midori Fuji, 7-5 with that win. Kirishima, the woes continue. He is 3-9. Kirishima, go Kyujo, please, please. There's nothing left to prove. Well, that brings us to the final bout of the day, another big bout. We have yet another upstart, Onosato, up against the Shin Ozeki Kodnawaka. Onosato at Maegashira 5 coming into this one on 9-2. A big crash of the touchy eye, but it was Kodnawaka who responded quickly. He got under the arms of Onosato and then transitioned so smoothly into a huge kotenage arm throw. He sent Onosato crashing to the dirt. So another loss for Onosato, but I don't want to be negative about it. At Maegashira 5, 9-3 is a hugely impressive score for a Rikishi so young and so inexperienced fighting at the top of the card. Kodnawaka, 9-3 now after a little bit of a shaky start. Kodnawaka was 3-2 after the first 5 days. Kodnawaka has then now gone on to win 6 of his last 7. So you start to get the feeling, you know, one more win over these final 3 days and you might be able to say he's honored the Kodnawaka name sufficiently that he can move on to a new Shikona. All right, let's have a look at the leaderboard. Out on 11 wins, we have Takeru Fuji. He's 2 wins in front of 3 Rikishi. On 9 wins, we have Ozeki Hoshoryu, Maegashira 5, Onosato, and Maegashira 6, Gonoyama. Gonoyama, those two Fusensha are really paying off, and he stays with the leader pack. Let's have a look at the bouts for day 13. I'm just going to check if they're up yet, and they are not. It looks like the Torikumi committee might be taking their time with this one. They know that they've set a very, very high standard with the Torikumi so far. They want to get day 13 right. And I, for one, want to give them that time. Don't rush it. Let it happen. Let the Torikumi come to you. I would like to know who Takeru Fuji has tomorrow, but I guess I'm going to have to wait. Thank you so much for joining me on Sumo Mainichi tonight. Amy will be back tomorrow and will bring you all the action from day 13. We'll see you then. Yeah, baby, yeah.